Recordings have been started.
Thank you ever so much, Chris. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the CTN call on the 16th of November 2015. On the call today, we have Gregory Saigham, Cheryl Langdon-Orr, Heather Forrest, Susan Payne, Colin O'Brien, Mayana Tazik, Paul Scheindler, Sana Salman, Griffin Barnett, Carlos Roel Gutierrez, and Maxime Alzober. We've received apologies from Laura Hutchinson, Yap Akerhuis, and Annabeth Lang. From staff, we have Bart Boswinkle, Patrick Jones, Karine Percet, Lars Hoffman, and myself, Natalie Peregrine. I'd like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you ever so much, and over to you, Heather.
Thank you very much, Natalie. Good morning to everyone. Good afternoon, good evening in other time zones. This is our first meeting, first call of the cross-community working group on use of country and territory names as GTLDs or as TLDs since ICANN 54 in Dublin. So welcome back. I hope everyone traveled back home safely from Dublin. What we have done in terms of item number two, recap of what's happened, what we have done is we circulated some survey questions some time ago. Bart or Lars, remind us, when did we actually send those questions? It was August, I want to say. End of August?
Yeah, this is Heather. Sorry. Thank you, Heather.
Oh, I hope not. If that's Heather, we're in trouble, Lars.
No, it's great for me. I'm glad to have someone capable take over for me. Good, Lars. Go for it.
I believe this is Lars, for the record. I believe, yes, we sent out late August, early September, but we did send out a reminder just after Dublin to also extend the deadlines, et cetera. So it's been definitely on the radar with people for about 2.5 months now, I would have said 10, 12 weeks.
Perfect. Thank you. Thank you, Lars. This is Heather. Thank you very much. And I think important to note as well that in addition to that email reminder, during Dublin, in our various meetings, for example, with the GNSO Council, the CCNSO, the meeting of the GAC and the GNSO, I see that it happened as well from the GAC communique and the CCNSO GAC meeting, we made various entreaties in person to remind various communities around ICANN that this survey was out and existed. I also drew the short straw, if you like, to speak at a panel that happened on Monday of new GTLD program reviews in the large room, I suppose, and had a good solid size group there and made a public notice of the fact that the survey was out, and if anyone wanted it, that they should get in touch with me or Lars, and I haven't heard from anyone. So that tells us that we have the word out. What has happened is in that span of time, let's say during Dublin and since, we've received, by my record, 5 additional comments. We'll talk about them in the context of item number 4. But that is indeed what has happened since Dublin, is that the various communities that we're all attached to have taken some time to respond to our survey questions on 3-character codes. And now it is up to us, in terms of a work plan to Marrakesh, up to us to figure out what to do with those and how we progress. We had set a goal of having some preliminary views of our own circulated by Marrakesh for discussion in Marrakesh. So that was really the work plan that we had set ourselves when we first started on this journey with 3-letter codes. And that would fit next to our work on 2-letter codes, which was completed earlier this year. So we're completed, let's say. We've sat that in a position where we feel at this stage that we're happy with it. And I think after my thinking here, and I'll turn the floor open, is that we finalize as best we can our work on three-letter codes, and I think we send that around to the community perhaps as a preliminary report on those two things and get some formal community input on our methodology, on the way that we're reporting things, on gaps perhaps, on expectations in terms of how we have covered those two issues, two and three-letter codes. Does anyone have any comments on that as an approach? And please do, we'll have a bit of anarchy here, simply speak up, or I'll ask Bart or Lars to manage the hands up in the AC room, because for some reason Adobe and I are getting on poorly this morning. So any comments on that approach? Yep, Lars.
Sorry, Heather, this is Lars. I'm very happy to manage the queue. There's no hands up at the moment.
Thanks.
In which case, Heather, it's Paul here.
Yes, I'm
happy to jump in. Look, for Paul Schindler, for the record here, for what it's worth, I agree with the path forward that Heather's proposing. As a cross-community working group, we are generally finding our way, because we're blazing new ground here. So the way this work has been done, work has not been undertaken in the way it's being done in this group any time in the past. As such, I don't think there's such a thing as too much consultation or too much commentary back to the community, so that everybody's comfortable with how we're working and where we're going. So the whole idea of bundling together once we've completed our work on two and three letter codes, if I understood your question correctly, Heather, and then sort of sending that out to the community as to a status update of how we're going and whether there's any comments on that would be a really good idea.
Great. Thank you, Paul. Thank you very much. Anyone else want to comment? No? Excellent. All right. My thinking on that is, just to cap that item, is to say I think we all acknowledge that we're in the elephant in the room, I suppose, is the difficult territory ahead with names. And to the extent that we have some community feedback on codes, I think that would be helpful before we launch into names. We want to make sure that we have something that we're on a path that the community it believes is comprehensive and believes is sufficiently robust before we move into codes, or into names, rather. So that's my thinking there. Excellent. So item number 3 in our agenda is the letter from Thomas Schneider, the chair of the GAC, which Lars circulated at the end of last week, or mid last week. So that letter, I suppose, is a direct response to some interceding by the chairs of the CCNSO and the GNSO. So we separately went to the GNSO and the CCNSO with concerns, weaving the chairs of this cross-community working group, in terms of scope and overlap of the work being done by the GAC working group on geographic names and this cross-community working group. And that resulted, I'm personally pleased to see, in some better awareness on the part of the GAC chair and, I suppose, others within the GAC. I think one of the concerns that we've had for a while about what's going on in that GAC working group is not so much that the working group is going on, but that it was going on and there were GAC members, including the chair, who weren't all that well informed as to what that group was doing. And I think, if anything, our entreaty provoked some discussion within the GAC, which I think is a very healthy thing. What that letter makes clear, it seems, is that the scope of the GAC working group is names that don't fall within the ISO 3166 list, and that is primarily our mandate, the ISO 3166 list. Although I will say this, and Paul can offer some comments as well, is that certainly in the study group there was some discussion as to whether our mandate went beyond the ISO 3166 list, and I think that was probably discussed briefly in the context of this working group as well. Paul, do you want to say anything about that, about the scope and the list?
Not particularly, just simply because you've covered it off exactly the way I would have described it, Heather. So, sorry, no particular colour to add. You've got it.
Great. Thank you, Paul. Thank you.
Heather.
With that in mind.
Heather.
Yes. Yes. Carlos.
Sorry. I had to step out because I have to make a comment.
Okay.
I have a lot of latency, so I will speak slowly.
Okay.
One question, since they have delimited everything that is not in ISO, doesn't it preclude us to continue working on the names, on the full names? Thank you.
It's a good question, Carlos. The way that I so response to you and then another comment from me. The way that I read the letter from Thomas is that we can continue with names as those appear on the ISO list. Now, what it does is it raises. I think it pulls out of scope one of the things that we spent so much time on in the study group, which is how do we deal with things that are related to names? For example, cultural shortenings, for example, unofficial names. Those, I think, probably get pulled out of our scope, and it focuses our mandate. Not to say that a document from the GAC should necessarily have an impact on our mandate, but I think we can use this as an opportunity to do so, to clarify our own mandate. It's not forcing us to do so, but I think it's an opportunity. So official names as they appear, and I suppose we also need to come to grips when we get there with translations, and if so, what languages. Paul, your thoughts on that, given that you chaired the headache that we had in the study group on this question?
Thanks, Heather. Paul Schindler here again. Honestly, I'm a little bit torn as to the reading. I mean, I've read that many diplomatically worded government-speak documents in the past. I, to be honest, I didn't actually read Thomas's note as necessarily limiting the scope of what we could or should work on, but rather by stating it, he's making clear that this is our patch. But I don't believe that the intention of the note would have been to limit us to, but rather making clear that this is our area. In other words, work deriving from 3166 is the starting point. I can't see any intention on his part to necessarily limit us. In a way, I'd like to park the issue for a while because we'll see how it goes and what the environment's like when we get to those issues. Because let's face it, working through three-letter codes and then starting to get to names is going to take quite a while. So we can take take the temperature of the environment once we get to that point. But I still believe it would be worthwhile for this working group to head down the same rabbit warren that the study group did, if only for the sake of thoroughness. But again, we're doing these things with a due process, but with a degree of flexibility as we go. So it's worth noting, but I'd like to sort of park it and let's see how it goes as we get beyond three-letter codes, which no doubt are still going to take us quite a while.
Fair enough, Paul. Thank you very much. This is Heather. Just to clarify, I wasn't reading Thomas's letter as, let's say, limiting our scope, but it could be an opportunity to do so if we understand that the GAC is staying out of that area. That said, I'll express a concern here. I still have a concern. My concern is not going to go away. I'm going to have to learn to deal with it. That we have two groups working in the same space. We have two groups working on geographic names, and the challenge that we have there is that we have two different definitions, if not multiple definitions, of geographic name and different policies that apply to different types of geographical name, and that worries me. That's an inherent inconsistency that creates challenges for applicants, that creates uncertainty for applicants, and I worry very much about that. It's clear to me that as much as I would like to, as much as I've asked Santa Claus, the GAC working group is not going to go away. And so that means we just have to deal with that going forward, and do our very best to clarify our scope and make it crystal clear for the community and for future applicants what names our recommendations apply to, so that there's no there are no gaps there. There's no question marks. I wouldn't like the finger pointing to come back to our group if we can avoid that. Does anyone have any comments on this item, on the letter from Thomas, or their own thoughts on this issue? Lars, I'll ask you to manage the queue for me if you would. Done. Silence. Everyone's terrifying. If everyone would ask Santa Claus for the GAC to quit their work, then maybe we would get what we want.
It's Cheryl here. If I can just jump in, I'm stepped away from the computer, so I didn't put my hand up in the room. Look, I hear what you're saying, Heather, and I do understand the desirability to minimise the opportunity for even more confusion on this area, because after all, there seems to be enough of it anyway. The GAC's own work will proceed at a different pace to ours, but because it's not in sync with our current focuses and activities, it may be that it is at a mature enough point when we get to this piece of work ourselves that we can in fact then sit down with something that is a more concrete, because at the moment what they're doing is all pretty fluffy. You know, you've got a very small group of people putting forward some potential drafting language which is yet to be discussed in any depth, let alone in full within the GAC to form any sort of GAC opinion. So I'm rather hopeful that when the time comes, we will be able to negotiate some more clearly understood and perhaps mutually agreeable terminologies. But that's only going to happen once their own work has proceeded to a point where they actually have some formulated definitions themselves. It's still very, very early days, as far as I can tell, in where they are, because their work group has yet to bring back substantive things for discussion. And indeed, no, as far as I can tell, substantive discussion has happened in such a way that is leading to particular outcomes or firm definitions on GAC view beyond some of the earlier resolutions. So the intent is there, but the actual hard copy current view stuff doesn't seem to have been formulated yet. So Santa may still come, you never know. Just not this Christmas.
Thanks very much, Cheryl. This is Heather. Anyone else would like to comment on this?
Yeah, it's Paul here. I just wanted to build on what Cheryl said. Yes, it may well be Christmas 2020, but there's, from my experiences, well, way back working in the GAC, there's every likelihood that there's a possibility that their working group's work might sort of collapse in a heap if they don't get any traction or there isn't any momentum. So I believe that fundamentally we've done the right thing. This group has reached out to the GAC. We've reached out via the CCNSO and GNSO chairs formally, and we now have a response on record. So, you know, worst case scenario, we've done all we can there. Now it's a case of us proceeding with our work. And I share your fear, Heather, about we come to particular outcomes and you end up getting polar opposites from the GAC, and that just doesn't help anyone. But I feel that we've done the best we can do to try to harmonise that work, or hope that work goes away. And, you know, now it's basically time for us to get on with it. And the note from Thomas is a handy full stop on that episode, and hopefully he's truly able to back up the promise to bolster GAC involvement in our group, as he mentioned in his letter. But we'll wait and see. Maybe that's another Christmas wish.
Thanks, Paul, very much. Anyone else with a comment on this before we move on? Oh, All right. Yeah, look, I appreciate the input there from Paul and Cheryl and Carlos, and agree with everything that's been said. So I will continue to ask Santa. And there we go. So number four, confirm and discuss input received on three character codes. So we have received, by my records, the following comments since during Dublin, I guess is the best way to put it. So we received some responses from the law firm Mayer Brown at Dublin on behalf of their clients. And then subsequent to that, we received input responses from law firm Partridge and Garcia, from .pl, from .hk, and from the intellectual property constituency. Does that, Lars, have I missed, or anyone, have I missed anyone on those five?
Sorry, Heather, can you just, so we have more than five. You're talking about the submission so far?
Yes, since Dublin, I guess.
Yeah, there's a number that I think five is about correct. I don't have the exact number. There's
okay.
A couple of them that came through late last week, so I sent out this document I'm just putting out now on Thursday, and then again today. And there were a couple of CC registries that have made submissions on Friday that are not included here yet, because I didn't want to deal with two different versions before the call.
No, that's fine. That might be the .hk and the .pl, because I added them to my list at the very last minute. So,
Heather, this is Bart. Heather, what I know is, so just for the record, we, as discussed on the previous call, Paul and Annabeth made their presentation at the CCNSO meeting. And it's only after that meeting we send out the survey, so we could refer back to that meeting in Dublin. What I've seen now is that, say, after sending out the reminder last week, people really start to wake up, and they told me that they start looking at it and they start to submit their responses to Lars. So I will send out another reminder by the end of this week, and so expect more from the CC community.
Good. And Bart, thank you. Could you or Lars remind us when did we've got a revised? I use the term deadline loosely, but we have a revised sort of target for submissions.
The way I've communicated this, and that is. Based on your communication, is the 30th of November.
Good. Yeah, perfect. Perfect. Good. I would anticipate that we're probably reaching the end of submissions from GNSO, because that from the GNSO community, because that went out, the timing was just such that it was first notified to the GNSO a bit earlier, given what Bart's described in terms of the process of how the CCNSO was approached. And I don't know of any other comments that are forthcoming. Doesn't mean that I should know, but let's say I don't know of any other comments forthcoming from the GNSO community. Nobody's said to me, we have comments. Can we still submit? So we'll see what we get in from the GNSO. We'll expect some more from the CCNSO if we can get it. And then the question is, what do we do with these comments? I think one thing that comes to mind
Heather,
to me.
Yes. Heather, just a moment. Somebody has his hand up, and I know he's from CCTLD. Grigory, go ahead.
Thank you, Bob.
Grigory, you're on mute.
Do you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yes.
Okay. So the question is, do you need any official letter from CCTLD? Or it can be some kind of recommendation, or you need something with signatures or decision or just opinion? Thank you.
Just an opinion, Grigory. But it needs to be from a CCTLD. So no official letter.
No. No CCTLD. Our community, we are .air managers, so we can send a message that we agree to.
Yeah, and send it to Lars.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a very good question, Gregory. This is Heather. All of our work at this point is relatively informal and unofficial, I suppose. So this is just a process of, it's not a formal public comment period. We're simply seeking community input in our work, and we're happy to take that from any and everyone who's willing to submit it. So by all means, please don't worry about formal processes. It's the substance of what you have to say rather than the official nature of it that we're interested in. So please, by all means, and communicate that widely amongst your colleagues, so that I wouldn't like to think that stopped us from receiving feedback. So, excellent question. What was I saying? Yes. The next question is, We have some time now to digest individually what has come in. I confess I haven't read these last two CC submissions, but we'll do so in the very near future. We also have some feedback that came in from the ALAC, which is in a different sort of a format still. That's what I started to say. One of the things I think maybe that's a lesson learned on this is perhaps a bit more strategizing going forward when we do seek community input, in terms of how we seek community input. Perhaps we start using a form or some sort of Google Docs or something that allows, that sort of pushes respondents to the best that we can into a more harmonized format of their response. Not to say that I want to influence what people say, and I understand that sometimes form and substance go hand in hand, but we have some very different looking documents that come back, and that creates some challenges for us in terms of what we do next. And now I'd appreciate some commentary on what do we do with all of this information? How do we attack this? How do we synthesize this? How do we digest it? How do we deal with comments in such a way that I don't want to reduce them to one line, because if they were reducible to one line, then the folks who submitted these comments would have communicated in one line, and we don't want to lose valuable detail or information in somehow summarizing or paraphrasing. So how do we deal with these comments? What process should we use to go forward? Any thoughts on that? Oh, please don't be quiet now.
Well, Heather, I thought somebody raised their hand, but I hadn't. This is Lars. If you want, I can make a couple of suggestions to get this going.
Please, Lars, that would be wonderful. Thank you.
And then I would like to talk.
Oh, Carlos, you want to go first?
Please
go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I have to step out of the room again. Hold a second, please. I think that we should always keep in mind that we have a very good background paper, and it has so much history and knowledge in it that we shouldn't lose that document. So it's valuable in itself for the record. I don't know where, but I personally like the two-letter co-section a lot, and the background that Jaap and Bart brought into it, and we should keep the document alive, readable, with as many annexes as possible, and don't worry too much about the recommendation or the policy recommendation or the conclusion for the time being. That's the point I wanted to make. Thank you very much.
Carlos, thank you. I agree 100%. In seeking this community input, one of the things that we can be doing is working on the front end of that section in our document, which is the status quo, which is the justifications for the status quo, and the background. I agree. That's something that we can very usefully be doing in the meantime while we wait for community input to come in. Lars, over to you.
Actually, Carlos covered it mostly, so I have not much to add. I mean, I was just looking at the methodology, obviously, how we then going to deal with the large number of comments, bearing in mind that it will take time to go through them individually on the call, but also bearing in mind that not doing that might risk overlooking some comments. There's obviously different possibilities of forming subgroups that the individual from the working group look at specific comments and report back to the group. Staff could also provide summaries, but that always comes with a caveat that there will be decisions to be made if you make a summary, if you include a half sentence or not, and then that could be problematic if that decision is made by staff rather than by a community member. So I just want to put that out there.
So, Lars, probably I was not clear before. I think we have to bring them in as much as possible in the text if they require changes in the text or in footnotes or making a list of the comments. And I'm ready to work together with staff on taking a look at the whole group of comments. Thank you.
Okay.
But always within the framework of the paper. I don't want to produce a very long list or a spreadsheet with all the comments and so on. I want to bring the comments directly and see if they fit or as a footnote or as a comment or as a change in the text or record it in the same document. I'm ready to work on the document, but not producing more parallel documents. Sorry. Thank you very much.
This is Heather. Thank you, Carlos. And I think it is a good idea, although we end up with a lengthy document, but it provides a record. I think your idea of using the appendices and appending each one of these comments that have been received actually to our work in toto, I think that's a good idea, because then there's absolutely no mistake that we haven't paraphrased something and done so. Taking something out of context that you can go back to the original source. I think that's very, very appropriate and important. So with that in mind, can we, as a plan for going forward, my comments have just caught up and I want to make sure. So Susan, most people have answered questions, I think, when they didn't do so directly. We could extract the answers from the responses. It's too much work. I agree with what Susan has said, and I think from what I've seen in the responses, by and large, what we have is a yes or a no, and then some reasoning for that. And what we might be able to do is group comments together. For example, we might just think about a matrix of, and I'm not suggesting another document necessarily, but some sort of a matrix of, on question number one, we have, you know, X number of responses. They're all generally positive. They're all generally negative or whatever it is. And try and bunch things together on the basis of reasons. And drawing those out would then come into our benefits and burdens section of our document. And that should help us to, if you like, see a clearer picture out of all of that. I suppose the question is how do we do that? Do we do that in small groups? Do we do that with staff's help? My suggestion is I think we ought to individually get around these comments before we make that decision. I think between now and our next meeting, if we can all get across the comments that have come in to the point of that meeting as best as possible, there may be some that come in at the last minute, as was the case before this meeting. But if we can individually get across the comments that are received immediately prior to that meeting, we have an understanding of what's in those comments. I think that will then help us to understand better how to synthesize them. My take on what we have to date, as I say, is that there's a yes or a no for each question, and then there's reasoning behind that. And the reasoning, of course, is very helpful for our justification section. But if we get a better flavor for on each of those questions, are there more yeses than noes, or how is there a balance, or how do we, is there any clear picture that emerges? I think that would be helpful. And then perhaps we come up with a methodology, a formal methodology, formal methodology going forward when we think about Susan's comment and Carlos's at that point. Any concerns about that or comments or responses to that?
Cheryl here.
Cheryl, please.
Thanks, Heather. Look, it's not a concern. It's a suggestion, and again, not to try and create any new documentation beyond showing community that we have heard, understood, considered, and responded to their input. And that's vital. That's something that was on the cards since we've done the first ATRT work many years ago now. Community since then has an expectation, I think, of having a some form of document which can act as an appendix. And I'm sorry, I can't put my hand down. Thank you. Somebody else did it for me. It's a slow internet here in Australia. Some form of appendix or archivable document that shows how we have dealt with community input, or in this case, input from the ACs and the SOs as well. To that end, I'm rather fond now of the templating type approach that's been used in, first of all, the CWG and now the CCWG on accountability, where it's very much a minor modification of what you were proposing, Heather, but it has a sort of a column approach, a tabular approach to dealing with the yes, no's, et cetera's, and rationale. And I would recommend perhaps Bart and Lars have a look at how we might be able to bludgeon the input we've got now into that sort of columned approach, where we also then allocate it not so much to yes and no, but is it supportive, is it not supportive, does it make a particular recommendation, does it say something new? And so it's sort of by that you can then, if it's something new, well then you can either put it aside or say when you're going to deal with it. If it's yes, it's a yes. If it's a no, well, so be it. And you need to look at what the rationale was. So it just, I think that approach might just assist, and I think community is getting used to reading how a work group responds to their input in that sort of tool. Anyway, that's the suggestion. It's just a garnish on what you've proposed.
This is Heather. Thank you, Cheryl. I think that's a useful perspective. It's one that we need to bear in mind while we've got this very, let's say, public-facing outreach to solicit comments. You're right, we need to close that loop and assure the public that those comments have been acknowledged and recorded and received and done something with, rather than simply looking for that in the body of our document, that there's something more concrete that we can do to signal you have been heard. And I think that's a valuable perspective, and that does weigh against the simply incorporated, build it in perspective. I think it's a very valuable input. Anyone else want to comment on that, the methodology approach? Are you generally comfortable with this idea of take another 2 weeks, see what we get in, digest what we have, and then tackle this at our next meeting?
Heather, it's Paul.
Yes, Paul.
I don't want to hog the line, so I'll be very brief. I agree with the approach that you've outlined, and I think what we're heading towards is a typical sort of hybrid thing where we call for volunteers and have, it doesn't necessarily need to be subgroups, plural, but a subgroup of our membership who's interested in doing so that self-identifies, supported by staff as appropriate, was probably the best way forward.
Great. Thank you, Paul. Thank you. And hopefully we will have self-identified folks, and we don't have to use that horrible ICANN phrase, being voluntold to do something. That would be fantastic. Good. Anyone else? Concerns, comments, questions on anything relating to this? No. Hearing nothing. Any questions, concerns generally about where we are? We're at a stage of wrap-up. Any other business? Anyone have anything that they would like to mention before we break the meeting?
All good.
Marvelous. Marvelous. Wonderful. Well, thank you, everyone, very much for your participation. Thank you for joining us. Keep an eye out on the list for any more comments as they come, bearing in mind that Bart has predicted we'll have a few more CC comments come in, perhaps many more. We'll see how that works out. And we shall look forward to our next meeting in a fortnight's time. And in the meantime, all the very best for those celebrating Thanksgiving. Have a very happy one. And in fact, let's just double check. Does our meeting, our meeting does not interfere with Thanksgiving. So everyone celebrating can do that, eat your turkey and do so in peace and quiet. Have a lovely 2 weeks, folks, and we'll talk again in a fortnight. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Heather. Bye.
Thanks, Heather.
Thank you very much, Chris. You may now stop the recording. This concludes today's call. Thank you.